Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. It's lovely to be with you again at Darlington, even via these remote virtual means. When we look back over not just recent years, but over the last however many years, and then look at this year and how life is at this moment, we are experiencing some extremely strange times in this year of 2020. Who would have thought 10 months ago that life would be carrying on the way it is? We went through months of standstill, or just about standstill. We've been in and out of lockdown ever since. People not really knowing what is happening. The government gave us a strict lockdown back in, I think it was April or March, and it was to keep us safe. But even then, there were many people who felt uncomfortable with all this and decided that they know better. This was something, or this is something, I should say, that's going to seriously affect their life. This thing could potentially kill them. But the arrogance of mankind, excuse me, often thinks, or seems to think, that he's invincible and the rules that are set in place don't apply to them. Many believe this is some sort of conspiracy as a way of control. And they still don't believe that this virus exists. Excuse me. They break the rules of lockdown. They continue doing their own thing, regardless of these rules that we've been given by our government. From the beginning of all this, lockdown has been a completely new way of life for everybody, in and out of the ecclesia. Whether that be social distancing, the wearing of masks, not being able to visit our usual venues, and various other rules that have come in as well. But as we venture forward through this period of unrest, and even as we have periods of where it eases and then picks up again, we're heading forward into the great unknown, aren't we? Some places are experiencing a second wave. Some places aren't, but are wondering if they will. Will we be hit by a second wave everywhere? We don't know. Will this be the start of something else? We don't know. How long before something else cripples the day-to-day life of this world? We don't know. We've never been here before. Not only is 2020 a year we have never experienced before, because time is constantly moving forward, but also this time of testing, this lockdown, we've never experienced anything like this before, or certainly not in my generation. But how do we view this current situation? Do we see it as an inconvenience to us, to our daily life, our daily ritual, our busy schedule in this life? Do we see it as a bit of an adventure? Ooh, this is all a bit new. Does it bring on annoyance, being dictated to by the government of what we can and can't do? Does it bring on a sense of anxiety because of that fear of the unknown? Or does it bring on an element of joy because of what we as Bible students and those in the truth are enthusiastically looking forward to? And this kind of got me thinking, where are we now? We are at a point in our lives that is very different. Could you turn with me, please, to the Old Testament, to Joshua chapter 1? Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 read, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, it came to pass that Yahweh spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for Yahweh thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Joshua and the children of Israel had this great unknown future before them. And I'm sure there will have been that same list of emotions: anxiety, excitement, trepidation, inconvenience even. At times this had seemed to the children of Israel to be very inconvenient. They often had a desire to be back in Egypt. They may also have experienced joy and wonder as to what was ahead. All these emotions are perfectly natural. But what this one thing that is demonstrated here is an enormous amount of faith in God. Joshua was tasked with the job to lead them to that place. And Joshua spoke unto the people what Yahweh told him to say, we read in chapter 3, turn over a page, commencing at verse 1. "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, or the army of the people, if you like, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." This is basically saying, let the testimony which is within the Ark of the Covenant go before you. That's the Bible to us. Do not try to get in front of it. Don't try to think that you know better than the scriptures of God. Don't even try to get close to it. Don't try to think you're equal to it. It goes before for a reason. You've not been this way before. Therefore, let God guide you. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5 reads, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow Yahweh will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and went before the people." Just as the children of Israel prepared to cross the River Jordan and enter into the promised land, the unknown, we too are facing this period of time that we have not passed this way heretofore. We have not experienced anything like this before. What is at the other side? Will anything change afterwards? What will be different? Will life go back to how it was before? The children of Israel, they had great doubts during their time in the wilderness. They doubted God. They doubted his promises. They doubted what was before them, because they could only see the wilderness around them, a bleak, empty, barren world that never seemed to change, no matter how far they walked. They looked back to Egypt, representing the world to us, on many an occasion. The advice Joshua gave to the children of Israel is certainly appropriate to us today as we begin our journey through this period to the unknown. We've never been in a year like this before, just like any other year, but certainly not one as strange as this year. One thing is for sure, none of us know just what it is that the Lord has in store for us in this year or during this period of unrest. One thing we all agree on is that we hope that 2020, well, not just 2020, what's left of it, but this day will be the year or the day that brings the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to this earth to rid it of all its evil, its sin, temptation, sorrow, pain, and ultimate death. And so we, like the children of Israel, will cross over into that promised land that is set before us. But what does Joshua say to the children of Israel beforehand? Verse 5 of Joshua 3. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow Yahweh will do wonders among you. The word sanctify means to dedicate, to set aside for holy use. And this is what we should be doing with our bodies, our minds, our hearts, and our lives right now. It also means to declare holy, or to be free from sin. And we must do likewise. Now, I know that we're unable to free ourselves from sin because we're mortal beings. We are flesh. We are bound by this curse passed down through the generations from Adam's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. But we can set ourselves apart and try to be free from sin, so that our garments are as white as humanly possible when we meet our Lord at his coming. Now, it's easy to label certain things as being sinful. There are many obvious things that we can all list. But there are also many subtle things that may not really cross our minds as being an issue. This is why we must study the Word every day and investigate all things to ensure that we are keeping our garments clean of all things. Yes, we will fail. That is our nature. But we must try nevertheless. This is how we sanctify ourselves before the Lord, before we journey on to that promised land. And as we read in Joshua, if we truly sanctify ourselves right now, then the Lord will do wonders among us. What are these wonders? For one, he will protect us and guard over us and also guide us through this difficult time. He will use the testimony of his holy word that we hold in our hands to guide us if we allow it to. Just as the Ark of the Covenant guided the children of Israel into their promised land. But we also must be in constant communication with our Heavenly Father through prayer. Now, if we pray to God, as we're instructed to, and as we are shown in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. In fact, just keep a finger in Joshua. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we know these verses very well, the Lord's Prayer. Commencing at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Is this prayer long? No. Is this prayer elaborate? No. But it contains all we need to ask our Heavenly Father each and every day. Now, that does not mean that we say this prayer every morning, parrot fashion, and all will be fine. Our prayers must not be parrot fashion. They must come from the heart. The Lord's Prayer is the ideal example, or the backbone, if you like, of what a prayer really needs to contain and what a prayer should be built on. We need to ask ourselves, do we pray every single day with all our heart and mind and being for our Heavenly Father's kingdom to come? That he brings that great day of promise to reveal the promised land to us. If we do, when do we ask for it? Do we ask for it to come? Kind of open-ended, with no real desire, but when it gets here, yeah, that'll be kind of nice. Or do we pray for it to come tomorrow? Secondary. Or do we pray for it to come now, as in right now? If we pray as we should for it to come right now, then we must sanctify ourselves right now also. Matthew 25 verse 13 says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For this reason, we must investigate our lives daily and identify our failings and our sins, no matter how obvious or how subtle they are, and sanctify ourselves before our Lord, so that we are ready and worthy to cross into the promised land. But we, as fleshly human beings, we prefer to reverse the order, don't we? And have the Lord do the wonders among us first. And then we might decide to sanctify ourselves. But it does not work this way. Can we negotiate with God? Can we say, I want to do or achieve this first? I just want this degree, this promotion, this house, this holiday first? When we look at that list I've just said, how many of those were available when we were in full lockdown? How many of those were available to us? Holidays weren't, house moves weren't, they are now, within reason. But one thing that we can depend on, and we've been able to depend on all the time through this period of unrest, is the kingdom. That's always been available to us, and it still is. We may want to do things this way or that way, thinking we know what is best. Human nature being the way it is, once we get what we want, we will usually just carry on as before. The deceit of the flesh means we will always want more. And God knows it. That is why he stipulates that we make the first move by sanctifying ourselves first. How do we know that God stipulates that we must sanctify first? Well, let's go back to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. There is no stipulation of when. This is not up for debate. There is no have a think about sanctifying yourself if you feel like it. Instead, this is an instruction. And instructions are not usually deferred. In the military, When a soldier is given an instruction or an order, it is expected that the response will be carried out pronto. Are we not soldiers of Christ? An instruction means now. But also, the fact that Joshua continues to say, "For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves first, then and only then will the Lord reward thee." The reward of the kingdom is described in many parts of Scripture. It doesn't say exactly when that reward will be given, but the promise is still there, and God's promises always stand fast. We must remember that all things are to God's rule and to God's schedule. We therefore must sanctify ourselves first in this life, no matter what it takes, no matter what we have to endure, whether infirmity, sorrow, inconvenience or pain, for his sake. Then it will be the Father's good pleasure to give us kingdom or the promised land. When we look over our lives and consider our days and the trials that we have faced, there is likely many times we have suffered lack and had to do without, whether that be material blessings or even spiritual blessings. This is likely when we have put ourselves and our wants before the wants of God, reversing that order, when in reality the Lord is just waiting to pour out showers of blessings upon us once we dedicate ourselves wholeheartedly to him. The problem with most of us, we have trouble truly sanctifying ourselves. We have trouble letting go and letting God take over in our lives. We have trouble leaving houses or brethren and sisters or father and mother or wife or children or lands for Jesus' sake in the Gospels. Luke chapter 14 verses 26 and 27 read, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." I cannot think of a harder trial for any of us. The love of a family member has got to be greater than any material thing. That is how high the bar is set when it comes to dedicating self to God. The key to success in passing this way in 2020, and looks like into 2021 also, and through these very strange times that we're experiencing, that is that word sanctify or dedicate. When we become wholly dedicated to God and his commandments, casting aside our wishes, our ideals, our fleshly desires for material or worldly things, when we decide to live this year, or better still, this day, unto the Lord, then he will respond by doing wonders for us. God is waiting for us. If we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us, as we read in James 4 and verse 8. But he will not wait forever. Remember, as we read in Proverbs 21 verse 2, "For every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Yahweh pondereth the hearts." He knows our true intentions as to whether our heart is right and truly dedicated, and he ponders on these things. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then, and only then, will all these things be added unto us. Is that not a mirror quote in Joshua chapter 3 verse 5? Seek or sanctify, dedicate first, then all these things, great wonders, will he do for us. That is why in the Lord's Prayer we pray, "Thy kingdom come." not sometime, but now. It doesn't say now, because it shouldn't need to. It should be a given. We should have that true, earnest desire continually, day by day. When we look at Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." This also links to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, where we read, "I counsel thee to buy." Now, to buy something is to give something in exchange in order to obtain. Now, in this day and age, that's usually money. But in our case, that giving is our whole lives without wavering through dedication. "So I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." And as we know, gold represents tried faith. "That thou mayest be rich." Not worldly rich or wealthy, but spiritually rich. "And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness," the nakedness of our sinful nature through Adam, "do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see." In other words, anoint thine eyes or cleanse thine eyes daily with the word of God, so you can clearly focus the glorious kingdom before us. James chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God." Again, we are being told to make sure we get our house in order, whether that be our individual house, as in myself, or our ecclesial house in these days that remain. We only have to look to the letters to the ecclesias in the book of Revelation to understand how important this is. That phrase in James, "that are ready to die," that is before time runs out, whether by the return of Christ or our own death, because Christ returns at both points. The warnings are there in many parts of Scripture. Sanctify yourselves now. So we must ensure our wedding garments are as white as they possibly can be before our Lord returns. We do not wish to be as the person whom Christ speaks to at the wedding without a wedding garment, or wearing a filthy garment inappropriate for a wedding in Matthew 22 and verses 11 to 14. "When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. "Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." They're stark words, aren't they? This is why the importance of being sanctified or dedicated to the Lord now is imperative. We do not know when our Lord will approach us. Are we dressed for the wedding at every moment? When we liken that word sanctified to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we have gathered to remember today in symbol of bread and wine, we can see that Jesus was completely, 100% dedicated to his Father's wishes. Let us take example, strength and courage, not just from the prayer that Jesus left us in Matthew chapter 6, but his whole life also. Let's just turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. We know the verses well. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. When we look at the answers Jesus gave when he was tempted, he used the scriptures to make his answers for him. He didn't deviate to the left hand or to the right hand, exactly as Joshua instructed the children of Israel, the sons of God, in Joshua 1, verse 7. We are the children of God. Therefore, this applies to us today. Let us also look at how Jesus responded to his final hours before he was put to death. Turn over to Luke in chapter 22. And commencing at verse 40. When Jesus was at the place, he said unto them, his disciples, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Jesus prayed with every ounce of energy he had in his body. But the crucial words we read here are exactly what we read in the example Jesus gave us in his Lord's Prayer. Verse 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He says it twice. If thou be willing, not my will, but thine. In the Lord's Prayer it says, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This demonstrates just how dedicated Jesus was his whole life to the ways of his Heavenly Father, even through the most horrendously trying times. Jesus was strong and courageous through things beyond anything we will ever be expected to endure. Jesus was courageous in facing everything before him, including the most humiliating death on the tree. How did he manage? He dedicated his life to God without any deviation. In return, the blessing that God showered upon him was strength to succeed. Jesus observed the law and the wishes of God to the letter. Jesus didn't deviate to the right hand or to the left at all. The things around him were of no consequence, only the will of his Father. How did Jesus prosper? He overcame sin and death. He rose to eternal life. He rose to sit on the right hand of God and wait for that great day that each and every one of us has been promised, if we sanctify ourselves like our Lord did, right now. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living example to us of what God was telling the children of Israel to do through Joshua. Sanctify, dedicate, set apart ourselves unto God and no one else. So as we commence this new week, the continuation of this strange period that we're going through, all this unrest. As we continue through the remaining months of this year 2020 and into the year 2021, if the Lord remains away, we have a choice of going this way with God in front of us or that way on our own, because God will not follow behind us. If we don't put God first in our lives, he is nowhere. Remember where the ark traveled. It was always in front, not behind. As Joshua prepared to commence his journey, God comforted him by saying, "Have not I commanded thee?" These are not soft words, are they? He was commanded, "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For Yahweh thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." God will be with us wherever we go, if we will but sanctify and dedicate ourselves to him. We read it in 1 Chronicles 28:20 this morning. Brother Malcolm referred to it in his comments after the first reading about being, having God with us and going into this life without fear. If we dedicate ourselves to our Heavenly Father, he will never leave us. God will be with us, whithersoever we go, if we will but sanctify ourselves or dedicate ourselves to him first. This made me think of the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Does that not echo the words of Joshua 1, verse 9? This theme of dedicating ourselves to God first, and then he will be with us, whithersoever we go, runs right throughout the Bible. With our Lord doing wonders for us, what a wonderful time we have ahead of us. The most amazing wonder of all is what we're about to remember now. The death and resurrection of our Lord, who made all things possible and gave us this amazing hope of being a part of that beautiful kingdom to come. That has got to be so very close now. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Thank you.